The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News.
Well, as you've been hearing, further concerns have been raised that Leaving Cert students may not get a date for their results until after the exams begin on June the 8th. Now, the results have traditionally been released in August, but many students now face uncertainty as they attempt to plan summer activities. It's reported this morning that the reasons for the lack of clarity is due to a second sitting of the exams in July and an unpredictability of exam attendance due to COVID and other permitted matters. Well, joining me to talk about all of this, Brian Mooney, Career Guidance Counsellor and Irish Times Education Consultant, and Alex Rowley, a Leaving Cert student. Students, good morning and welcome to you both. Alex, we'll start with you. What does this uncertainty do to the head of a Leaving Cert student?
Morning, Pat. I think the uncertainty definitely gives a lot of stress to Leaving Cert students. I'm actually on the DEBS committee in my school, and it's been stressful to even get a date for our DEBS because a lot of people are trying to plan holidays, and they tend to happen during the summer holidays, or they might organize it around the Leaving Cert results, obviously with no date. Their families now don't have that. A lot of students also have to search for accommodation. They may be going to college on the other side of the country, and it's hard to search for accommodation when you don't know if you've actually gotten the course you want to be at. I mean, last year the results were released on September the 3rd, which is very close to the start of a term in college. So I think the uncertainty is just heightening the stress levels of Leaving Cert students who are in the books now, currently 24/7.
From your experience and chatting to your friends, how many are likely to be, you know, examining their papers closely to maybe get rechecks and so on, because that will add further delays if it should happen?
Yeah, I haven't really discussed it with many of my friends, to be honest, but I do know of certain people who would be the type of person to go over and check their results because they're looking for the best of the best and they want to make sure that there's absolutely no mistakes in their paper whatsoever. Having said that, I think it's a minority, in at least in my year anyway, of people who will go over with a fine tooth comb. But then again, it could be an increase because the points could be rising.
Now, the problem, as you adverted to, is, you know, you don't know what you're going to get or where you're going to go until the actual results come out. So you have a situation where people might have to, as you say, plan accommodation, but they might have to be looking at two or three different colleges and putting deposits down in two or three different cities in anticipation of one result or another.
I mean, that's exactly it, Pat. We all have different choices on our CAO. I mean, if you look at mine, for instance, my first three choices are all for different colleges. Thankfully, I live close to Dublin, so I don't plan on getting accommodation. But for the people who are looking to go to Galway, Waterford, Limerick, Cork, it's very different. They're going to have to, you know, decide which one they think they're going to get. And of course, when the results come out on the day, it could be completely different to what they'd expected. And suddenly they find themselves in Limerick rather than Cork, where they expect it to be.
Yeah. Your top three choices are colleges in the Dublin area. You might get top three. I hope you do. What happens then if you don't get? I mean, have you gone Dublin all the way down?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually got the full form filled out. I've kind of got the first five choices. I do have a college in Limerick and Waterford, but I'm not 100% sure if I'll end up going there. It's financial constraints as well, trying to get accommodation in other places of the country, and career opportunities seem to be more prominent in Dublin.
Now, is this uncertainty high on the radar of students, or, you know, are they blissfully unaware that they might not get their results until far later than they had expected? Because, you know, when you're in school, you expect the grown-ups, the adults in the room, to sort these things out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I haven't heard it discussed too much. I think we were all aware of the uncertainty when the exams were going to be decided, if it was going to be a sitting Leaving Cert or predicted grades again. We were all aware of that, but I haven't heard many people discuss the lack of clarity for a Leaving Cert date. And I'll be seeing my friends now this evening for a graduation, so I'll probably bring it up and see what they think. And I'd say there'll be a few shocked heads anyway.
Yeah. How many days to your first exam?
My first exam, I think, is on the 8th of June, so it's just under 2 weeks now.
So the tension's rising. Are you nervous?
A slight bit now, yeah. It's getting a bit more real.
It's a long time since I did my Leaving Cert, but I can still remember the countdown of those last days before the first exam, and it is nerve-wracking. And then once you get into the swing of it, you just go with the flow.
Honest to God, yeah, I still have memories of my junior cert, and we were quite, we just, to be honest, it was quite bliss actually, the breaks in between exams, going down to the local cafe and everything. So I think once it starts, it's not as bad as you think it will be.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck, Alex, and thank you very much for joining us. Alex Rowley, a Leaving Cert student. Brian Mooney, listening to that conversation, you know, most of the students going over their heads, as I said, they presume the adults in the room are going to sort this out.
Yeah.
But Brian, what is the problem?
Well, let's just look at the things that are actually present in the system. The first thing is obviously that we have a new system which was introduced by Minister Joe McHugh a number of years ago, which I pushed for many, many years, so that if somebody has a family bereavement during the Leaving Cert, they can take a number of days and those exams will be sat in July. And that has been introduced this year, and that's a good idea, but that will be a tiny number of people, obviously.
We also, by the way, Ryan, can you clarify with me that if, for example, you know, your exams are spread over 2 or even 3 weeks, and if because of a family bereavement or sickness you miss 2 or 3 papers, you can split them. You can do the papers you're available for now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's only 3 days, basically. It's around the time of a funeral, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not to have students being literally accompanied to a funeral mass by somebody from the State Exams Commission, yeah, and literally taken back to an exam centre to sit a paper, having buried a brother, a father, a mother, a grandparent, yeah, etc. That's a very humane thing, and it's been there for a number of years, and it's there this year. And that is not going to create a big problem. They are going to be sat in July as they were sat a number of years ago. And then obviously in July, obviously, if there is any students who miss papers because of COVID, because there's a COVID outbreak in their school, or they personally have to self-isolate. But again, I would think, even though that's planned for, the numbers who will be involved in that, please God, would be very, very small. And that would be, you know, at that end of the spectrum. At the other end of the spectrum, because we always have about 8,000 to 10,000 students carry forward their application to the CAO from previous years. We had obviously very high grades last year because of the calculated and assessed grade process over the last 2 years. And the minister has given a commitment there will be an adjustment in the bell curve to bring everybody this year up to the same average as last year. And that process may take a few days as well. So there's a certain amount of uncertainty around that and how long that will add. And until they know that, obviously, they can't give a definitive date.
But I presume, there are not tiny little hands poring over everything and adjusting the bell curve. This is presumably an algorithm of some kind.
Correct.
That would have been designed in the department and just applied.
Exactly. And hopefully that won't take long, because they already know where they want the bell curve to land. So effectively, once they get the actual profile of results, the adjustment should just be a computer system. But, you know, I'm not aware of the internal workings.
So now we get to the real nub of the problem, Brian.
Yeah. Well, the real nub of the problem, Pat, in my view, is that to actually have results on a particular date, you have to have a sufficient number of people who are actually going to correct those scripts. That is, you know, traditionally in my 43 years in teaching, you know, you have a large number of teachers who will apply every single year to correct scripts, and they'll spend the month of July and into August, you know, diligently going through every single paper. In the last number of years, that's been moving online, so they're scanned scripts most of the time. And, you know, even in my last 5 to 10 years in teaching, you could see progressively more and more aggressive marketing, promotion, principals talking to teachers, encouraging them to do it. And for the last 2 years, obviously, we haven't needed those people to a large extent, because in 2020, we only had a tiny Leaving Cert cohort in November, and literally tiny numbers of people needed to correct. Then, obviously, last year, we had no Junior Cert to be corrected. And we had, with the calculated grades last year, we obviously had quite a number of students, who chose to accept their assessed grade, and therefore they didn't have scripts to mark. So we probably had about 25% of the cohort that we would have needed back in 2019. And now this year we have a full Junior Cert and a full Leaving Cert. And, you know, being blunt, we are still actively looking for teachers who are going to be prepared to give up their summer to actually do this. And, you know, the department, the State Exams Commission, they've increased the fees for Leaving Cert scripts between 17 and 50%, for Junior Cert between 48 and 57%. People are paid for attending the marking conference, for administrative work. They get travel, they subsistence. So I don't think it's money. It's nothing to do with money. But for some reason, the numbers who would traditionally in the past have come forward haven't to date materialized, and that is the real reason, and really, Pat, why effectively you cannot put a date on it, because until you know how many people are going to be there to actually correct the scripts, and the students needn't worry about this, they will eventually be corrected, but until you have that sorted, and the State Exams Commission is actively asking teachers, you know, teachers currently, former teachers, please apply to examinations.ie. We are still actively seeking people to correct the exams this year.
A couple of things happened. Obviously, the pandemic broke the habit for many people that they just gave up their July or whatever and they corrected scripts. The pandemic also maybe got people to have another look at work-life balance and do I need this extra money? The pandemic
elsewhere, maybe doing something far easier.
Yeah, but also the pandemic allowed people to put away a stash. They weren't spending as much. So maybe they're saying, well, I don't have to save up for my August holiday by getting this work. I've already got a stash. So there are lots of things playing into this. But once the habit is broken, it might be difficult to resuscitate it.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had, obviously, a lot of people have retired over the last number of years, and you've younger teachers coming forward, and maybe they have a different perspective on life. Maybe the stress, and it is a very stressful occupation, and particularly over the last number of years, with the fears over COVID and, you know, students in masks and you constantly, you know, not being able to interact with colleagues, may just feel emotionally exhausted at the end of this year and say, look, I want a break. And effectively saying, why would I apply to spend a month to 6 weeks or whatever time it's going to take, you know, and then go straight back into another school year at the end of August. So, you know, it's not as if anybody's setting out to trip the system up. It's not about anybody personally deciding that they're going to create problems. But if, you know, our education system at second level is completely and totally based on a model whereby teachers have always sought this work in the past. And maybe, you know, in the last number of years, less and less of them are doing so. And they've had to be encouraged, if you want to use the word, you know, strong arm twisted by their principals, etc., to please apply for this.
OK, now, Brian,
the whole model.
Another thing that has changed, you mentioned scanned scripts. Now, when I was lecturing in Bolton Street years and years ago, you used to have to correct exams and, you know, sometimes the handwriting would be a bit challenging and so on and so forth. But scanning doesn't improve the handwriting. It just puts the handwriting on a screen. And personally, I would hate to be looking at a screen at scanned scripts. I prefer to have the physical script in my fist while I was marking it.
And it has been progressively over the last number of years moving more and more subjects to the scanning process because it's deemed to be more efficient, that effectively scripts can't get lost, etc. But as you say, if you think about it for a second, sitting in front of a screen through the month of July and into August, looking at a screen all day long at scanned scripts, you know, may not be the most attractive proposition.
Because you might have been able to go out to the back garden, set up a table, have your paper scripts with you, have your coffee while you're marking the scripts and so on, staring at a screen. It's not that desirable.
And as you said also, Pat, you know, and you did raise it with the student you were speaking to, effectively now and for many years that passed, students can scrutinize every last decision you take down to the last comma. And effectively, you cannot let your guard down for 1 second because every single mark or half mark you decide can be re-questioned by a student at the end of the year based on whatever the marking scheme was. So effectively, it's really, really, you know, very, very high intensity work. And as I say, students have a perfect right to go back and question anything if they want to see whether they can get that extra few points for their CAO course.
And by the way, Brian, is it automatic now? When you've got a scanned script, is there a box at the side where you insert, you type in the marks, and are they totaled automatically? Because one of the things that did give rise to challenges, successful ones, was that the tot wasn't done correctly on the paper script.
Correct, I mean, I haven't been corrected, Pat, for many years, and obviously I haven't correct scan skip, so I'm not absolutely up to speed with exactly how the process, but it, I believe, obviously, you can't mark the script because it's scanned, so you obviously have a box at the side to obviously put in your particular marks or whatever, which obviously, it, once it gets into the system, is very efficient, but obviously it's quite stressful, you know, working on a screen all day long, and, you know, the amount
now,
of time.
Now, Brian, there is a baby elephant in the room, and that elephant is going to get bigger, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second, but I'll read the text first. Leaving Cert results, the State Examination Commission has a massive shortage of correctors because the pay is so poor, says this texter. It's a real issue behind the delay in the results this year. Another one. My husband is a corrector and supervisor for the exams. He hasn't even been given a date for any of this either. It's nearly a week before the exams. They're struggling to get people to do the work, but no one knows when they're working or can make plans for the summer, so they're not doing it at all. The whole summer is up in the air. It's a disgrace. This happens every year. Another one. I read on newspapers a couple of weeks ago there's a shortage of correctors for the exams. They're even offering more money to entice people. That is the reason for the delay. I corrected exams for years. The deadline set by the SEC for the examiners are horrific and totally off-putting. Not worth giving up one's time for such pressure. And this is a technical question for a student. What about a student who's a Leaving Cert exam in the morning and a clash of two in the afternoon? Does he have to do three exams that day? If my son was doing his Leaving Cert this year, he would be faced with that problem. Is that possible, Brian? That
oh, yeah, that's what happens. If, in fact, you know, for instance, if somebody's doing two languages at the same time, the content languages or whatever, all that happens, and I've seen this, and it's very humane, obviously they sit the second paper, and there is an examiner with them, and then they have to go into, you know, a room in the school. We've presumed it's happening in school. They get an hour to take a break. The examiner is with them. They don't have a phone. Then on a one-to-one basis, they go back into an exam center, and after they've had a meal, et cetera, they will then, but it effectively means that you will end up doing three scripts. It's a tiny number, but it can happen where there's a clash with real minority subjects happening at the same time.
Now, the elephant in the room I was talking about, which is growing, if we have a continuing decline of markers, correctors, it would mean that the current system will be non-viable. It just can't be done. Either we have to go to kind of multiple choice computer-corrected exams, or, this is the elephant, the teachers have to do the grades themselves. They've got to assess their own students.
Yeah, well, this is the elephant in the room, Pat, because, as you know, the unions have very strongly come back out this year and said, we want to go back to the traditional system. We want to teach our students and then have people externally assess them. And they say, this is the Irish model, it's fair, etc. And we have gone back to it. But it completely depends on the model which was there through my teaching life, which was that teachers spend the summer mostly, you know, either supervising exams, which is not particularly stressful, which they probably have more than enough people to do, or spend the month of July and August correcting scripts. And if it has gone out of fashion, and if young people coming into teaching see this as being too burdensome, and they're off maybe, you know, teaching English to Spanish students, or they're off working in a bar, or, you know, playing a guitar on Grafton Street, or whatever it is, and they've more than enough ways of earning money other than doing this, then we have to go back and reassess the entire way in which we grade students for third level entry, because that's ultimately what this is all about, that the colleges will have to find a way of actually allocating places. And if we cannot have a system whereby the teachers spend the summer correcting the scripts, well, then we're going to have to find a system that works otherwise. And that puts challenges, obviously, on union positions. Yeah. But what's the alternative?
And some of the texts coming in are kind of reflecting that inevitability. Correction of papers should be mandatory. Teachers are paid an annual wage. There should be no extra pay for correcting. It should be mandatory so they all know how the process works and how best to teach the students. Well, if you're giving up your holiday time, you should be paid, that's for sure. But of course, if you're doing it in a continual assessment basis during the school year, maybe you won't get paid extra. Sean and Roscommon making the same point. They're already getting paid, but have nothing to do for those summer months. It's their work. Oh, for goodness sake, teachers are the only career where they have to be cajoled, persuaded and paid extra to work an extra month in the year. Make exam marking compulsory. It's part of the job. I'm a PME student teacher. I applied to correct exams a few weeks back and received a phone call yesterday asking would I correct state exams. I turned it down. It's not worth my time. I corrected my mock exams in February and lost almost half of the money on tax. I was raging. Maybe if mock exams were tax-free, it could entice more teachers. Most teachers I've spoken to in the school say it's not worth the hassle. Now, the student-teacher, I would expect teachers, you know, whoever they are in the classroom, to understand that if you get paid, you pay tax. It's fairly basic.
Of course you do, And the thing is, you know, and there are additional money that is not taxed. I mean, you have attendance at the conference, you get travel there and back. You know, if you're staying away from home, in that you're in a centre which is, you know, not commutable distance, you get subsistence. So there are ways in which they can make it financially attractive. I, bluntly, Pat, do not think this is about money. I don't actually think. I think if you increase the amount of money by 10 or 15%, it wouldn't make a very marginal difference. I think that we've had a change in society. I think people are more mindful of their mental well-being. I think people, too, who are teaching, who have given a massive commitment this year, and the anxiety and fear in every classroom and every school about COVID and getting COVID, I think people are exhausted. But I don't think this is a short-term thing. I think it's very much a long-term thing. And, you know, it was never part of teaching, a commitment to my contract when I was teaching. It never has been, and I'm going way back into the 70s. So if you want to renegotiate all that, that's a whole different ballgame. But right now, the reason why nobody can put a date on this is until you know how many people you have to correct it, notwithstanding the other issues we talked about at the beginning of the interview, you ultimately can't put a date. And even the Simon Harris, as minister, is out this morning asking for it. It's not his responsibility. It's ultimately down to Minister Norma Foley and the State Exams Commission, who are doing everything they can to attract teachers to do this work so that they can get on and deliver the results.
I'm just quite surprised at Simon Harris going on about this and we have to do this. Why doesn't you just have a chat with Norma Foley in Cabinet, you know?
Well, now, you know, different political parties, and it's not my responsibility, it's her responsibility. And at the end of the day, ultimately, it's the State Exams Commission, and they're trying to administer a system which is pretty much identical to where I started doing this back over nearly 50 years ago now. And I think society is changing, and maybe, just maybe, we need to, after we get through this, and I say to the students again, do not worry about this. It will get sorted. Your exams will be corrected. But right now, nobody can tell you what date they are, because until you know how many people you have to correct it, you cannot set a date.
Brian Mooney, Career Guidance Counsellor and Education Columnist with the Irish Times. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.